Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Our Father and our God, we thank you this morning. Thank you because you are actually stretching forth your hand to help us, to move us, to give us an unction, and to set our heart ablaze. Holy Spirit, we are asking that as we begin to understand what it is that must bring about our own deliverance in this generation, we ask, Lord, that you will arise to help us. We are asking that you set our heart ablaze, set our inner man on fire, and that God, this morning, as we go on and as we look at what you want to do throughout today, we are asking, oh God, that your purpose for this Congress will not fail. What you want to accomplish will be accomplished. And what you want to do in the nations of the earth, where you are causing us to gather, it shall come to pass. Thank you, Lord, for hearing us. Thank you because you will help us as we wait at your feet. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Please come with me now to 2 Kings chapter 2, but let's read from verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth, but the water is not, and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse, and put salt therein. And they brought it to him. And he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there. And he said, thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day, according to the saying of Elisha, which he spoke. May God bless his word to our heart, even as we study together in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there are a few things that we have been interacting with as we kept studying, and I want you to look at that scripture very closely. The critical issue that God will want to focus upon is, what is God's strategy for healing the land? What was the strategy for bringing to an end the barrenness and the death that is taking place? Now, when God was creating the first man, the plan of God was that he will also be a cruse, but a cruse into which the life light was poured. So a cruse that is carrying God's own life, and God is saying, now, go and subdue the earth. Go and multiply yourself and subdue the earth. And I realize that what will subdue the earth is not the container. It's the live light that is inside that will subdue darkness. But this live light cannot be accessed except in a cruse. This life light that will subdue darkness is not available, is not accessible, except it has been put in this particular cruise. And so when Satan came to destroy what God wanted to do, he tempted the man to sell out what is essential in his life. And so I want to begin by noting today again that I'm seeing the same biblical strategy. That same strategy is what God is working at now. And what is that strategy? A new cruise. A new creation. We started reading the other day, said, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but the new creation. There's nothing that will solve this matter in our generation. It is not more education. It is not more enlightenment. It's not more money. It's not more political arrangement. It is the new creation. If the new creation, but this new creation must be that into which the life of Christ had been poured. The only thing that will solve the problem in our schools is when God has the new creation teachers. When we have the new creation doctors. When we have the new creation man that is now posted to the place of politics, that's when we can hope to see a change. That's when we can hope to see a divine visitation. And so for us, crying and say, Lord, multiply the new creation into which the salt of your life has been poured cannot be overemphasized. We can't overpray that prayer. Because that is what the matter is. That's where the issue lies. So I want you to see a few things quickly there. The first thing that was very touching is that, and they brought it to him. God cannot use what is not in his hand. That's the first thing I would like to note with you. God does not use what has not been presented to him. God cannot go forth with that which he has not, you know, possessed in his hand. So the first question that we are dealing with, so they brought it to him. They brought this new cruise to him, into which salt had been cast. So I want you to see what is in the hand of this man of God now. It is the new cruise with the salt inside. They brought it to him. And Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I therefore beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. If there's anything reasonable that you are going to do in your lifetime, they brought it to him. They brought this new creation, this new cruise with salt inside, they brought it to him. And as we were looking at what God must do to this new cruise, we said, if the life of Christ, the salt, is not there, it's empty, it's useless. It cannot do anything. Because the essence of this life is Christ who lives in me, who is dispensing his own life into me. The essence of this new life is no longer mine. So we want to begin by noting that the essence of this new life, the essence of the cruise that we are talking about, is Christ in you. Christ walking in you. Christ living in you. Christ formed in you. Christ operating in you. Now, if it is not Christ at work in you, there is no essence to your life. There is no essence to your existence. There is no essence to your ministry. There is no essence to your activity. There is nothing. Nothing will happen. There will be noise. There may be dancing. There may be shaking. There may be moving of the waters. But there will be no healing of that water. There will be no deliverance of that barrenness. There will still be death everywhere. There may be a lot of good singing. There may be a lot of activities, but there will be no essence. So the first point I'm raising as we are going to be looking at what God's strategy, they brought it to him. If any of you is sitting here in this meeting, what is the essence of what God wants to do in our lives? That he has put the salt inside. But they brought it to him. They brought it to him. They brought it to him for whatever he wants to do with it. When he said, bring me a new cruse, put salt in it, none of them knew what he wanted to do with it. None of them knew how he was going to do it. All they knew was, he said we should bring a new cruse. They went everywhere looking for the new cruse. We had prayed that when God is looking for the new, we will not all be running up and down, and there's nothing new that we can present to God. So we have asked him, give us a newness. Give us a new heart. Give us a new spirit. Make us new. Pour down the old leaven and make us a new lump. If God has done that, which I know he did. God has walked in our midst. God has come to the earth and said, put in the salt. Put in the essence, the essential. Let it come inside. Inside this man's life. I saw God doing that. So what is the next thing? They brought it to him. Whatever God has done in your life in the course of this meeting, it is to be brought back to him. It's to bring back your life and all that God is working into your life now, bring it back to him. One of the things I saw when Jesus came into the world, he said, sacrifices and burnt offering you are not interested in. Lo, I have come. I am here. Your reasonable service, what will be reasonable? Whosoever you are, wherever you are sitting, wherever you are listening to this instruction, is to bring it to him. What is not in God's hand is not useful to God. So when our brother read Psalm 127, and he was concluding in that verse 5, as Brother Chizoba referred us to it, let me refer back to it. It says, happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So the question is, have you brought it to him? Have you brought your life? Have you brought your totality? Have you brought it to him? Are you in his quiver? Are you brought into God's quiver? So that what he wants to do with this new cruse with the salt inside is in his hand. Or are you sitting somewhere and say, well, I thank God for the meeting, so I will go and do something. No, 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 no. You are not the one to go and do something. If you are not in his hand, then you are not in his hand. If you have not brought your life to him and say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Now that you have taken away the old man that I used to run after. Now that you have taken away the man that used to be ambitious inside of me. Now that you have taken away the rottenness that used to be inside of me, now that you are putting in your life, here am I, Lord. What do you want to do with it? This will be your reasonable service. And if the quiver, if our father's quiver is not full of this kind of new cruise with the salt inside, then there's nothing in his hand to use. Then there's nothing in his hand with which to speak to his enemy at the gates. Then there's nothing in his hand with which he is going to go and confront the one that has been standing at the gate against him. When the other day we began to read the book of Luke, chapter 14, and we were talking about how Jesus stood up and said, whosoever he be of you that wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, and all that we read. He now asks, which one of you wants to go to battle against another king that has come? And we now first check whether he has enough in his hand, whether the 10,000 men he has will be sufficient to confront the man that is coming against him with 20,000. If he doesn't have that, he says, okay, let's tell the man to keep doing what he's doing. We are not ready yet. And they brought it to him. So the first thing I'm demanding from you, will you present your life? Will you present your vessel? Will you present this new cruise into whom Christ's life is being poured? Will you present it and bring it to him and say, now, Lord, here it is. Whatever you want to do with me, wherever you want to cast me, wherever you want to throw me, whatever you want to do with my life, whichever source of the river, of the decay, you want to throw this one to go and cause a change, to cause a deliverance, to cause, you know, a newness, and to remove barrenness. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I. Oh, yes. You are a lecturer. But God has evacuated that old nature, that old man out of your life, and is pouring Christ like there. But you are saying, yes, thank God, I've enjoyed the meeting, and you are going back the way you came by yourself. You are not in his hand yet. And what is not in his hand is not in his hand. Let's take note of that. What you have not put in his hand, he will not grab it. What you have not brought by yourself to his hand is not in his hand. And he cannot go to the gate with it. So I want to ask you, first question, will you bring your life to him? Will you bring this new cruise to him? Will you bring this new cruise with the salt that God is casting, with Christ that is coming now to take residence in your life? Will you bring it to him so that he can administer it the way he wants? So that he can engage it to confront the enemy as he had wanted? Will you bring it to him? Will you enter into his quiver? I have found that those warriors, any arrow that is not in the quiver is not useful in the day of battle. If you see a hunter now, hunter has a bag. I used to call it the hunter's bag. And inside this hunter's bag, all the bullets that he was going to use. When he sees an animal, it's not the time he will start looking around for stones to use. They're already in his bag. Do you want God and say, Lord, I no longer to be a free ranger. I no longer want to be here and there, lying here and there. Lord, what you are doing in my life by making me a new cruise, a new creation man, whether in business or a new creation man in education, a new creation man in politics, in the military, wherever you are you able to say, Lord, I am bringing it now to you. I am bringing this life back to you. I'm bringing all that you have done now. I'm bringing, and they brought it to him. It is only what is in his hand that he can take to the gates. It's only what is in his hand that he can take to the source of that river. It's only what is in his hand that he can administer. So the first question that you cannot go away from this meeting, this morning's meeting, is where are you? Are you in his hand? Are you in his hand? This is not just about, oh, let me go and do this, let me go and do this. No, that's not the first issue. God is saying they brought it to him. Can you bring your life to his hand and say, now, Lord, both my life, my death, everything is in your hand. Whatever you want to do with me, I'm okay. Wherever you want to cast me, I'm all right. Wherever you want to carry me, it's all right. It's your decision, oh God. I am in your hand. I have come to know that that is the only reasonable service. All those that are choosy about what, where they want to go, what they want to do, only come after they have done their own things, and they say, okay, thank you, Jesus. Please give me this, please give me that. They are not in his hand. And as many of us as are gathered in this student congress and youth congress, I perceive that what will satisfy God and what will turn things around is that we are bringing it to him. I pray that each one of you, when I will be giving the altar call and say, bring it to him, I pray that none of you will sit back and say, well, I have something else to do. I have somewhere else to go. I know something else I want to do with my own life. I only came here so that I can get some little refreshing, so that I can go and be doing whatever I like to do. Whatever is not in his hand is not in his hand. My brother, if you have not brought it to him, you have not brought it to him. Oh, I will do it. I will do it. It's not equal to bringing it to him. And they brought it to him. I'll be asking you again. Will you bring your life to him afresh? Will you bring and say, now, Lord, all that you have done in my life, all that you have evacuated, all the works of darkness, all the way you purged me from my sin, and you cleansed me, and you forgave me, and now I'm seeing a new life, Christ inside of me. Oh God, here am I. Here am I. Here am I, use me, Lord. Here am I, whatever you want to do. I am in your hand. That is the first thing. The arrow that is not in his quiver is a useless arrow, no matter how sharp. The arrow that is not in his quiver, no matter how sharp or sharpened it had been, but because it's not in the hunter's quiver, it's of no use at the day of battle. It cannot be useful at the gates. I'm asking you, are you bringing it to him? And they brought it to him. If God will make you a new creation and Christ will live in you, it is not to go and be doing something else. It's not to go to pursue old ambition. It's not to go and be running about everywhere. Can you bring it to him? Can you bring your life to him and say, Lord, for this reason have you brought me into the kingdom? For this reason have you delivered me? For this reason am I alive? For this reason, the devil has not been allowed to kill me, so that I can be in God's hand, so that I can be a vessel in his hand, so that he can administer me wherever he wants to administer me. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you, because many times when you have heard people preach, you always thought that it's only those who are supposed to be preaching on the pulpit that God calls. Maybe you think only those that are going to be on the pulpit preaching, they are the ones that God is calling. No. No. Even if you are a lecturer and you are not in his hand, whatever investment God has put in your life cannot be administered. You are not in his hand. Whether he will use you to go and teach or to go and be a lecturer or to go and be a researcher, are you in his hand? Is he the one administering you to that place? Or you are just busy pursuing your own idea? I will be asking, bring it to him. Bring it to him who knows what to do. Bring it to him who saw you when you were yet in your mother's womb and decided that let's give this one a life. And when you started and you are going about with the old cruise, the old leaven, he did not allow you to die. Because if you have died, you will have gone to hell. He came and cornered you. He came and showed you the way of Christ. He came and brought you into the new creation. And Christ is now living in you. It's not to stand up and keep running again. It's to say, now, Lord, I am bringing it. Bring it to him. They brought it to him. Now, let me go ahead quickly because that's the first issue. So the first strategy in the revival we are looking for, in the restoration, in the healing of the barrenness, it's not anything else but that people have brought their lives to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is your reasonable service. Let me quickly say, your reasonable service is not in running around. Your reasonable service is not in starting a ministry by yourself. Your reasonable service is not here and there. Your reasonable service is to bring it to him, to present to him. And I'm so grateful to God that chapter 12 of Romans verse 1 only came after we have dealt with chapter 6, after we have dealt with chapter 7, chapter 8. You know why? God was never asking you to bring to him the old cruise. God was never asking you to bring to him that which is already, you know, an offense to the kingdom of God. He does not need it. He does not need your voice when you are singing only for the old man. He does not need all those things. I know you talk about your talent, you talk about activities. You have not been able to wrought any deliverance on the face of the earth because it's the old cruise. Now that God has changed your life, now that Jesus is now resident in your heart, what is your reasonable service? Bring it to him. When you bring it to him, that's when we will see the hope of what God wants to do in your life. Now, verse 21. Then, did you see the word then? Then, the word then means after that. Then, may the Holy Spirit give you understanding this morning. Until my life is brought to him, he cannot take the next step with my life. Until I surrender to him, he cannot begin to bring out what he wants to do with my life. I have no time. I would have loved to give you my own personal testimony, but there's no time. I realize that whatever else will happen, whatever else God was going to do, it was only possible after I have surrendered this life to God and said, Lord, whether I die, whether I live, is in your hand. Whatever you want to do with me, go ahead and do it. Even when it appears as if my life was going to be a waste, even when it appears as if I'm just going to be abandoned, God asks me, what's your business? Is it not in my hand? Have you not put your life in my hand? Am I not the one who is deciding what I want to do with it? Leave it in my hand. I know what I'm doing with it. And I thank God that he knew what he was doing with me. And I thank God that even today he knows what he's doing with my life. Because only what is in his hand can he ever use. Then, it's only then. So if you are only wishing, oh, we want to see revival, or your life has not been brought into his hand, how can, with what will God go to confront his enemy? With what will God go to the source of the water? How can? How can you be having a wishful thinking when the only thing, the only reasonable thing to do, you have not done? This morning, the Bible said, then. And I'm emphasizing that word, then. And you say, why is Bragbile emphasizing that? It's because it is only after you have put this life in his hand that God can move to do what he wants to do if it's in his hand. Then, but the old King James would have just used, and he went forth unto the spring of the water and cast the salt in there and said, thus says the Lord, I have healed these waters. So let me ask you to wait a bit furthermore at this point. The Bible said, then he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there. So permit me to note with you that if God already has you in his hand, what does he have in your hand, in his hand? The container, the carrier of the salt, the carrier of life. That's what God has in his hand. But now I want you to know that the essence of that which will cause a change is the salt inside of you, is the life inside of you. Is the life light. It is the Christ life that has capacity to change things, capacity to help men. So let's take the second point now. That in God's divine strategy, he prepares the body first. He prepares the new crews first. He creates an environment and a container and a carrier. And then he put his own life in it. Then the man became a living soul. But now in the new creation, we are not just becoming a living soul, but he has put in us the spirit of his dear son. And we have become a quickening spirit. So now, what is the essence? The essence of this arrangement is that I have become nothing but a carrier of Christ. So if I walk into a laboratory, what have I done? I have only carried Christ into that laboratory. If I walk into a research project, what it means that if that's where he is administering me to go, I'm carrying Christ. Who can confront the situation in that place? I'm carrying him there. So take note that what he cast at the source of the water was Christ-like. If you go to a secondary school, there is nothing that can stop the children from decaying. Nothing. Unless the Christ-like you carry inside of you is cast into those children, is confronting them. It is Christ in you that will confront them if there's going to be any result. Thank God that you're a geography teacher and you need to have geography as the license and as a container They say, who is this person? It's a geography teacher. So they think that all you came with is your intellectual knowledge of geography. But we know that we only package the essence. What we bring a change to this children's life inside a container named geography. So when you got in there, it is geography they are expecting you to teach, and you are teaching it very well. But inside that geography, there is the life of Christ that is hitting the student, that is changing their lives, that is turning them around. And they say, anytime I listen to my geography teacher, something is happening in my heart. I can no longer live in sin the way I used to live. He has confronted the source of decay in my life. I also want to be like him. I want to be like that teacher. And before you know it, the prayer we began to pray, that each one of us, we will not be barren. We will be producing a man like ourselves. So which means among your geography students or geology students or whosoever they are, they have contacted something that you carry. And you are reproducing people that are also carrying this Christ life. So that where they go, some of them will just go home and say, oh, mommy, I want to tell you something happened to me. During the geography lesson, something happened to me. And by the time that boy is testifying of what has happened, his mother or his senior brother or his junior sister, they are contacted with this same thing that is healing the waters. I want to ask you, what is it that God wants us to carry into business? What is it that God wants to use to confront the sources of confusion in our generation? It is not good talk. It is not good appearance. It is not intellectual knowledge, even though we will use all of that as a container, as a carrier. We are going to use all of that as a carrier. But if the essence, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, if it's not there, you are an empty talker. Nothing will happen. That's why what is very crucial, and I have been crying to God, and our brother just came and brought that prayer again, that all of you that are in Student Congress, even as we are preparing you, and we are praying that God will light you, will sort your life, and when he has finished, he will not keep you under a basket. He will put you on a lampstand. The purpose of the lampstand is that your light will shine. Is that for Christ's light to come up so that men everywhere will see the good works of your life and they will give glory to our Father that is in heaven. That's what we are looking for. That's what God is looking for. That's why God is doing what he's doing to your life. So what will be the thing that will confront the source of decay, the source of trouble? What is it? It will be Christ. But this Christ, where? In the new group. I know if we are not just following strategy, I imagine that Elisha could have just gone by that riverside and look at the river. Just as he struck River Jordan with his mantle and the River Jordan parted into two, he could have just gone there also and just hit the water with his mantle and say, yes, I have healed this water. And perhaps God will have done it. But no, there's a strategic thing that God wanted to do. And I found that most of the ministry that God used Elisha to demonstrate, it was actually dealing with strategic things. The widow woman whose husband died and left them in debt came and said, please help us. The man of God could have just said, how much money do you need? And he would have called money down. He said, no. What do you have in the house? He said, I have nothing except a pot of oil. All right. Go and borrow vessels. What was the meaning of that? It is that we need vessels. We need containers that we carry what we settle our debt in the nation. We need vessels. That's why we are going up and down all these years, raising disciples. The very reason why God sent us to begin to labor on disciples is because God said, if I were to send the rain, where are the containers? Where are the carriers of my life that will bring a change into generations? Where are they? I'm not just looking for one evangelist that will just go and blow everywhere. I'm looking for vessels in whom I can live my life, in whom I can walk, in whom I can operate. The essence of what is coming will be Christ at work in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If it is not Christ at work in you, we are not going to see solution to what we are talking about. And if we are not going to multiply people that carry Christ everywhere, but who have now come into his quiver, who has now said, Lord, here am I. Send me anywhere you want. Send me to whatever you want to do. Whether you want to send me, oh God, as somebody in the lab, let me carry you there. People are coming to the lab. Others are deceiving them. They're touching Christ. And there and then, healing is taking place because somebody carried the great physician and is sitting there. I want to put it to you. And as we are praying, as we are setting this matter, if it is not Christ that we are confronting men with, we are not confronting them with anything. So when he took the new cruse with the oil inside, he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there. It is the salt that will change the situation. It is the light that will chase away the darkness. It is the life of Christ at work in you that has the capacity of bringing a turnaround in people's life. So when we send you anywhere, when God carry you anywhere, did you have the essence? You may have language. You may have appearance. You may have, you know, an interesting stature. But do you have the essence? Christ in you is the essence of glory we are looking for. Christ in you is the only answer that men are waiting for. Are you a pastor and you are boasting about theology? You are boasting about, yes, I had MD, I have this, I have that. No, no, no. Do you have Christ to dispense to the church? When people come, do they touch Christ? Are you releasing Christ? Are you ministering Christ? I'm not talking about you preaching sermons. Sermon may be okay, may be a packaging. But what is the essence if Christ is not coming out of your life to confront people at the spring of their trouble? You are doing nothing. It is the salt that he cast in there that brought healing. It is the salt that he cast into the very, very source of the problem that brought this solution. So if God, who is standing up in our midst in this particular meeting and is desiring that he was going to show forth his glory in our time, if he is standing in our midst and is asking, say, bring me a new cruse. Bring me a new cruse. Put salt therein. And if they are in my hand, I can take them to where the matter is. I can take them to the source of the challenges. I can take them to where I'm going to administer them and there will be healing in the land. So, three things that we're looking at now. Have you brought it to him, new cruise? New cruise with the new life inside, with the salt inside, with the light inside? I have seen this strategy over and over again. when it was the battle of Gideon against the Midianites. And God said, those 300 that have denied themselves, have been evacuated of self-life and natural appetite. Those 300 out of 32,000. Those 300, what did God put in their hands? He put a lamp light inside. They have a pitcher that can be broken as a container. And then they all have one trumpet. And their trumpet was to send only one message, the sword of God and the sword of Gideon. They didn't even have a sword. He didn't give them a sword. He only gave them a trumpet and a lamp. And as soon as they allowed the light to shine, something already began to happen. It's the light that chased away that. And as the light broke forth and they shouted, the sword of God, the sword of Gideon, what happened is that in the camp of the enemy, they began to kill themselves. If we will carry Christ and we get to the source, the spring of the trouble, and we are confronting men with this essence of life, we are going to see a tremendous move of God that we have not seen before. But how can you give what you don't have? How can you give what is not inside of you? How will you release what you don't particularly have? So all the issue we are talking about, your growth, your devotion, your discipleship to acquire this life and let it be formed in you and be completely prepared to carry him everywhere, they are all the reasons. If you don't have the essence of what changes men, what are you doing on the battlefield? Let me ask you, what are you doing on the battlefield when there is nothing in your hand to shoot the enemy? What will you say you want to do when you are going empty-handed? So this morning, the essence, and if I want to be effective, that's the first thing to check. Is Christ here? Is Christ here? For Christ in you is the hope, is the expectation of the glory we are looking for. And so Brother Paul said, this is what I am laboring day and night, that Christ might be formed in you. He said, I travel again, that Christ might be formed in you. Because if you raise men that don't carry Christ and they are not bearing Christ about in their lives, you have simply been wasting time. They can't do anything. In fact, they themselves will be subsumed inside the barrenness. They will be lost. There will be nothing. That's what has happened to us in the body of Christ. We have so many people we thought that they are carrying Christ's life, but they don't. They have gone into politics only to become a compromise. They are the first one to tell lies because their belly is more important to them than the enemy they were to confront. They themselves, they are not in position to bring any change to anybody. So this morning, we are seeing God's strategy, and he cast in the salt at the spring of the water. I will be coming back later on to look at the springs, to look at God taking us to the springs, taking us to where things are breaking from, so that we can bring healing and deliverance at the very springs of things. He did not go to where the river had become so big and he just prayed. He doesn't walk. He got to the spring. It's at the spring that you can bring a genuine and an enduring deliverance. When you cut it from the roots, when you get to the root of the matter and you lay the axe on the root of it, that's when the old matter will finish. And God is about to take us to the springs where we will confront the springs of our trouble, but not with rhetorics, not with big, big English, not with analytical expositions. We confront the spring with nothing apart from Christ and Him crucified. And when Christ has been cast into the springs of people's life, oh, you see a turnaround. You see a turnaround. So He went to the spring and cast the salt in there. So, but I'm dealing with this situation because the salt that is being cast in is being cast in but from the new cruise. That's why it is becoming quite critical here. God is intending to cast in the salt at that spring. But that salt is not the one that is on its own. This salt is located in a new cruise, in a vessel, in a jar of clay. So on the outside, what they saw in His hand was the jar of clay. What they saw Him carry, they just saw Him carry a new cruise. But when He got to where the matter is to be done, He brought out the essence that is in the cruise. So that's where the matter is. We can't have this Christ life outside the new cruise. The new cruise is what God has ordained. The human, the earthen vessel is what God has planned, that it is in us that He will carry this solution to the lives of men. It must be in and through us. That's where the issues have now come. So if I was going to ask one question quickly, what will be the solution to all the trouble in our universities? What will be the solution? It will be Christ. But this Christ, are you hearing me, cannot come to that place except in a new cruise. That's why it is important for me to have lecturers that have become the new cruise into which Christ's life has been poured. That's why we need students whom God is dealing with, and He has uprooted the old leaven from their own lives, and He has put in the salt. He sends them back to that place. And why they are there, people think they are just students, but they are dispensing Christ's life into the lives of their colleagues. And before you know it, in that class, in that class, in that class, in that class, something is breaking forth. That has always been God's strategy every time. That was the strategy that God had used to bring several people out of the house of bondage. That strategy has not changed. That essence, if you don't carry the essence, then you have no use on the field. If there's nothing in you that can confront men, and what is it that say must be in you to confront men? Christ. Christ in you. Christ in you. You are intelligent and I want you to be intelligent. You are handsome and I don't want you to disfigure yourself. And by the grace of God, you are a beautiful sister. I don't want you to disfigure yourself. But all of those things, they are not the essence of your life. All those things are the external carriage. But if we have a container without a content, can you imagine that it's a useless? So that's why Christ in you is what God is about to dispense. Christ in you is what God wants to scatter around. Christ in you is what God wants to release. Christ in you is the one that is producing the holy life inside of you. It is Him that is at work in you that the devil cannot push down. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. It is Him. It is this kind of people that are carrying Christ, not carrying anything else, that God is looking for and want to send forth into the springs of the waters. So as we will be calling on God particularly, and I just want to trust God that you will do one thing that is a reasonable service. That you will bring this light to him. You will bring this container to him. You will say, oh God, here is my life. As you put salt in me, you will use the salt in my life. You will use Christ in me to affect people around me, to affect my friends, to affect my colleagues, to affect my classmates, if you want me to be in the school system. If you want me to be in the village, if you want me to be in the traditional school as a local chief or as a ruler, because we will need to carry this Christ to the spring of traditional people. Some of you will have to become an Eze. It's not that we want you to be carrying beads up and down. That's not the issue. But if you carry the beads and all of that, but the essence of the life is there. When your subject, when the people in the village gather, or your traditional people gather, and they say they just want to greet their king. And as their king opens his mouth, it's a dispensing of this Christ life that changes the community. That's what we are looking for. That's what God is looking for. But before I begin to talk about where will he send you, where will he post you, those will be our final issues. But the essence. Don't be a lecturer that has no essence. Because then you will be occupying that space for nothing. Under your nose, the devil and the prince of darkness will still be working, because there's nothing to stop them coming out of you. Don't just say, I'm a Christian. The other day, Brother Dennis was saying, don't say that. Let it be the light. Let it be Christ in you that is coming up. You say, it looks as if this man is carrying Christ. That's what we're looking at. When your discipleship has come to a point where Christ's life in you is being released, is being manifested, is being broken forth everywhere, confronting the sources of darkness, the sources of decay, the sources of sin, the sources of compromise. Then they say, there's somebody who was sitting in the Senate. He has been in the Senate. Every time he opens his mouth like this, we see light. Every time he says something, whatever we were planning scatters. And those who are representative of the prince of darkness, who are also on the campus, say, there's somebody that we need to overcome. There's somebody that anytime is around, we see a light that shatters all our darkness. He said, who is that? He said, it's Dr. Samuel Akpente. He said, He said, he's teaching in the Department of Animal Science. But whenever we see him, things are scattered. He carries an essence that we don't know how to remove. Now, it is such men that has to multiply on the campuses. It is such men that we are raising in discipleship. Or God, because the source of problem and corruption may even just be in the open market. I'm looking at those of you in Ghana, you go to Medina Market, and you see a lot of things that is going on there. And God is saying, can I send my salt to this place? And so he sends you to go and take a store in Medina Market. And while you are there, you are not there to make money. You are there to confront the spirit of Mammon, to bring it down, and to deliver men from the power of sin. That's why God is sending you there. But if you go in there and you got lost with business because you lost the essence of the life, oh, what a waste. What a waste. What a waste. So the question that God is raising, Whether you are sitting here in Cote d'Ivoire, or you are listening to me in Mali, or the Holy Spirit is engaging you somewhere in Congo, Brazzaville, or the Lord has come to you in Rwanda, wherever God is speaking to you, what is God looking for? He's looking for this new cruise into which salt and light have been poured, so that, and now, this cruise into whom the life of Christ has been poured is no longer on its own. They have brought it to him and said, Lord, send me anywhere, Lord. Administer me anywhere, Lord. You know, yesterday at the Pathfinder, we were talking about that, our young brother, the professor, who is in Otueke. And people are saying, why are you in that place? Why will you want to be in a remote area where there's no light up till now? They're just on generator. But you see, that's not the matter. It is to be administered by the owner of this new cruise. Send me anywhere. That's where you are going to make a difference. And did you see what he said he did? God was going to stop a syndicate of evil. Not even in his own department, in another faculty. They said, go and sort that thing out for us. And before you know it, everything has changed. And things are working now. And people say, wow, wow, wow. So whenever there's time for promotion, you can't stop such a man from being promoted, because God is behind it. God is behind it. And we need to produce many more of such. He has the mandate now to go and raise many of such as you are supervising some PhD students, some master's degree students. You are telling them, apart from this knowledge I'm imparting to you, there's something else I want you to collect. This is why all the present professors who are believers, who have experienced the new Christian life, you have a business. You've got to reproduce. You've got to raise people. Don't just raise academic disciples without Christ inside of them. You will not have solved the problem. You will have stopped the production. The process will have been stopped. So whether we are dealing with students that are in secondary school, we are looking beyond that they just pass WAEC. We are trusting that before they leave us, something is in them that has capacity to go and change situation. This is the word of the Lord to us. And I would like to ask you to join me as we pray together. This prayer is a very critical prayer. And they brought it to him. I said, what you have not brought to him is not in his hand. What you have not put in his hand, he cannot use. What is not in his quiver, he cannot administer at the gates. What he does not have in his hand, he cannot use. It's a biblical principle. All those that were disciples, that were following Jesus because there was miracle and all of that, when they began to reduce and go away, do you know that by the time Jesus was leaving, he only left 120 people that were with him? And it is those 120 people that the Holy Ghost came upon, that he sent forth to go and do his work. They are the ones that God used to bring about what you are calling the Acts of the Apostles. Only those 120 that God has in his hand. There may be thousands and thousands and thousands. Oh, I thank God. I thank God. Oh, God bless me. The last time I listened to Bragbile, God bless me. Hallelujah. That's okay. Are you in his hand? If you have not brought it to him, then you are not in his hand. Then you are not one of those that he could use. Then you are not going to become critical in the coming move of God. So you are going to pray with me. And the first reasonable service, the first reasonable thing, they brought it. It is when they are brought to him, then he can go to where he wants to use them. Then he can take from within them what he has put in, that Christ-like, that salt, that he can use to confront things, confront people, confront situation, confront darkness. But we can't have that sword without the new cruise. This is what has bothered me. There's so much God can do, but he cannot do it outside this new cruise that he has decided to work with. The power that is able to do anything, carry out anything, but it has to be the power that is at work, but where? In us. This is where this matter is. This is where they cry. And I just want you to join me as we pray together. And my first request is, will you bring your life to his hand? They brought it to him. Can I stand here before God and say, Lord, they have brought it to you. And do whatever you now want to do with these brothers, with these sisters, with these young guys, with these disciples that are saying, Lord, Lord, whether in Belgium or in Belize, whether in Bahamas or somewhere in Afghanistan, is where you want to release this inside, this salt inside. I'm here in your heart. I'm here in your heart. Whether I need to go to Russia or you are sending me to China to go and make a difference, I have brought my life to you. So we are praying. And as we are praying, that's the first thing I want to see you do if you want to do so. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you and you are saying, Lord, this meeting is not going to end in ordinary talk. This meeting is not going to end in ordinary singing. Here am I. Here am I. Here am I, Lord. Here am I. So we are praying together. If you like, I will ask you to stand on your feet as we pray. But when you are ready to respond to God and they brought it to him, I want you now with your two hands lifted to heaven and bring it to him. Bring your life to him. Bring your life to him. And say, Lord, that which you are saying you can do with me, here am I. If there's anything else that God needs to deal with and remove, he will remove it. If he's going to put you under anybody's hand in order to train you for the future, he will do that. Don't forget that Elisha first said, here am I. Let whatever it was for him now to go through all the process until he became what God ordained for him to be right from the beginning. So your reasonable service first is to bring it to him. And I will stand here. I don't want to presume. And I don't want anybody to say, well, Ragule knows that I'm there already. I don't know. And I'm not sure God knows. I believe God is saying, bring it to me. And if you are bringing it to him, even if you are young and you are saying, Lord, even in my youth, I'm bringing it to you. That's why today God showed us a Josiah at 8 years who began to seek the face of God at 16. And by the time he became 20, reformation was already taking place in his life. Here am I, I'm bringing it to you. Some will say, but I'm already a pastor. Yes, you could be a pastor who is just pastoring where you want to pastor. Where you are is where you chose to be. You are not in his hand. You are not in his hand, you are in your own hand. If you are saying, Lord, I am bringing my life to you. Everything about me, whether the ministry I thought I know before, I'm bringing it to you. Let the essence of life be poured into me so that you can minister me. God bless you. God bless you. If you are doing so, I don't want to waste time on that because it's the most critical thing to do. It's the most reasonable thing that God will have you do. Stand where you are and come to the altar. Bring it to him. They brought it to him. That's the key word. And they brought it to him. Thank you, my dear sister. Thank you, dear brother. As you are standing up, go to the altar and say, Lord, here am I, Lord. Here is my life. Here is my life, my career, everything about me. And whether I'm going to become aeronautic engineer tomorrow, whether I'm going to be the governor of my state tomorrow, whether I'm going to be a senator, that's not my business. Here am I. You are the one who will administer me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just make sure you are stepping out and say, here am I, here am I, here am I, here am I, here am I. And I began to sing that song yesterday, but I now think it is time to sing it again. Here am I, use me, Lord. Here am I, use me, Lord. As the Lord needs somebody in his hand, here am I, take me. Here am I, take me. Here am I, take me. As the Lord needs somebody, here am I, take me. Oh Lord, here am I, here am I, take me. Wherever you choose, whichever way you want to administer me. Jesus said, lo, I have come to do your will. I have come. I'm no more choosing. I'm no more interested in something about myself now. I'm interested only in being in your hand. I want to be that arrow in your quiver. I want to be that vessel that you can administer, you can send, you can post, you can take something out of me and cast it at the spring of those things, and things will turn around. God bless you. God bless you. Go on praying. Here am I, take me. Here am I, take me. As the Lord needs somebody. Here am I, take me.
Here am I, here am I.
Use me, Lord.
Use me.
Here am I.
Father, with our hands on our heads, Lord, proving that we brought it voluntarily, proving that we want you to take it for us. Accept this life of mine as one you can use. Every training, every fine-tuning, every refocusing that will release the essence of your life to confront your enemy at the gate, I'm ready, O God. Whether you use me to confront 20,000 that have come, if you know that what you have put in me is sufficient, I'm here for you, Lord. And whether I live or I die, let this be my experience. Let it be that you, O God, you are the one who used me until I'm finished, until you have finished using me, until you have finished what you want to do on the face of the earth. Let it be you, O God. Let it not be mammon that will use me. Let it not be money that will be riding on my life anymore. It will be you, O God. It will be you, O God. Even the career you are asking me to run for, it will be yours, Lord. Take my life from now. Take my life from now, Lord. Take my love. Take everything, O God. I am bringing it to you. And as we are doing this, O God, put your finger on our lives. Put your signature on each of these brothers and sisters. Each one of them. The other brother said in 2009, you confronted him, you changed his life. And he went back doing all that you have said to do. People thought it was foolish. People thought it was a retardation. How will you wait 4 years? But Lord, today we saw where you are putting him. Lord, we ask you to take charge of our lives. Take charge, O God. We give our lives to you without reservation. We release it to you without keeping anything back. We are bringing it to you because you are the one to use us where you want to use us. Take our lives, O God. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to you. Let it become a vessel in your hand. Lord, as I see your people in Lilongwe, I see some in Blantyre. Lord, I see them in different parts, stepping out and say, take this life. Please take it, oh God. Take it, oh God, that this cycle this year might produce men and women carrying the salt with which you are going to address the very source of challenges in the nations. Let it be so. And so, Lord, your God who keeps covenant, keep your word concerning these brothers and sisters. You did not bring them out here in order to just waste them. You brought them because you want to use them. Others say, are you not going to waste your life? Yes, yes, yes. If they think it's a waste, let it be wasted on the Lord. But we know it's not a waste. Whatever we put in your hand, you're able to keep it. So take this life and begin to guide them from different point to another point. You will do what you say you alone can do in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Now, lift that hand now and lift it to God. And just say, now I put my hand in your hands, oh my God. I put my hand in your hands, oh my God. I put my hand in your hands, oh my God. I shall not fail, for Jesus never fails. Lord, these two hands we lift and put in your hand now. As your son, Jesus never fails, he will not fail in us. We also, we shall not fail. We will see your glory in the land of the living. We will see the manifestation of what you have come to do in circle in our lives at this time, in the name of Jesus. Lord, unto you, who is able to keep, who is able to preserve, who is able to protect, and who is able to use to the praise of your glory, you will commit these lives. We put them in your hand. Paul said, I know whom I believe, and I know he is able to keep what I have committed to him. Lord, we have committed these lives to you. We have committed our destiny to you. We have committed our days to you. We have committed our life and our death to you. And God, you are able to keep it. You will keep these lives. You will use them. You will express yourself in them. You will take them to where you are going. And you will cause your glory to break forth by their lives. And from this meeting, oh God, we are trusting that you will say, I have men on earth now that I can take to the gates. You will not be ashamed to speak to your enemies at the gates. Look, we are in our different categories. Some are very young. And we are saying, oh God, yes, Josiah was young when you lay hands on his life. And we saw what he did. He was not yet 26 when great transformation took place. And we have said that some of us, it's not when we grow gray that you will use us. So, Lord, let your will be done. Let your word prosper. Let your glory break forth upon the lives of your people. Thank you for hearing us. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen.